Generations of farmers, loggers, and fishermen have derived their livings from America's natural resources. Today, a few people work at the edge of nature in places once thought completely barren or too hostile for human beings. For example, the Asian taste for seafood has people in the United States fishing for creatures they never dreamed anyone would want in places they never thought could be productive. Yet, there is good money to be made diving in cold and treacherous waters among forests of kelp, scraping the bottom of the sea. In the final report of our series, Working at the Margins, NPR's Howard Berkus introduces us to divers in the Pacific Northwest hunting for sea cucumbers.
People find sea cucumbers repulsive, hideous. They slither on the sea bottom, lapping up the decaying remains of other sea life. They look like bloated pickles, pimpled and slimy, and orange, yellow, and brown.
They've evolved into sort of a cigar-shaped look. They're elongated, and they've got tube feet along the bottom portion of their body, but they look like a big, rusty-looking cigar.
Alex Bradbury knows sea cucumbers. He studies them for the state of Washington and regulates their catch.
They're soft, and they have large protuberances. They're kind of spiky-looking, but they're not sharp at all.
Why do people fish for sea cucumbers?
They're a delicacy in Asia. They're sold in markets everywhere from Hong Kong to Taiwan to Singapore, Malaysia.
For what?
The Chinese use them in soups. They use them in stir fries.
Have you tasted sea cucumber?
Absolutely.
And?
Well, I don't see what all the excitement's about. It seems to be one of those things that you need to add a lot of spices and a lot of soy sauce and garlic to get any taste out of it all.
Somebody likes it.
Somebody definitely likes it.
Enough people like sea cucumber that the market's boomed. From one diver and a few thousand pounds 25 years ago to more than 100 divers and 1 million pounds now, just in the inland waterways north and west of Seattle. The demand's been so high and the diving so intense that the catch is now restricted. But divers still dive, grousing about the rules, dismissing the danger, and longing for unregulated days.
It was a lot better, you know, it really was.
We came out and made 15 grand in one day before. I mean, that's just, get your adrenaline going. You hit the mother load and it's like, oh yeah, this is what it's all about, you know. This is the American way. This is the way it's happening. And, you know, I'm feeling that those days are gone. It's a scary thought.
Glenn Selness is only 34, but he sounds like the alpha male of the sea cucumber divers and boat tenders gathered around him on a dock at Port Townsend, Washington. His Cadillac of boats, The Edge, is tied up nearby. Selness boasts that in his 10 seasons underwater, he's probably caught more cukes and made more money than anyone.
Yeah, I got a $300,000 boat. I got to go out here and work for $600. We're used to going out here and working and making, you know, getting 2,000-3,000 pounds a day. You know,
when you say $600, it's because of
we
what?
We get a dollar a pound, and they got trip limits, so we only get 600 pounds now.
Divers are limited to 600 pounds a day, 3 days a week, until a quota is reached. This year, the diving lasted 8 weeks in May and June. Some used to dive all year and then every day when seasonal limits were imposed, but too many cukes were caught. And half the harvest now is reserved for Indian tribes.
The main reason these trip limits is so most of the guys can get a little bit longer of a season without people like me take the majority.
So there's a lot of money to be made in doing this in this relatively short season, even this year.
By the time you calculate all your costs, you know, right, I'm not making nothing right now. You know, we need to make a lot of money. You know, you got to put something away for later on. You know, diving's not an industry where you're going to be, you know, diving until you're 60 years old, 70 years old. Ain't going to happen.
All eyes in the group turn to Tony Wickham, one of the first divers here, a 20-year veteran. He's 50, he says, but seems older and frail, with sun-baked leathered skin and missing teeth.
You know, I have caisson's disease. I have nitrogen holes in my bones.
Chronic bone narcosis is called.
Right. My hand's toast right now. I got in both shoulders and my hips. And that's from, just a lot of years in the water. Water is hard on the body. Your body's not made to be compressed every day and recompressed. You know, it's just, it's not.
We all know what we're getting into when we start this whole thing. You know, we realize, hey, there's a chronic bone narcosis. So I mean, that's half the reason most of us got into this, to get make our money fast and get out and hopefully avoid that. But with the way things are going, you know, we're forced to go out here and, you know, piddle around with it.
The regulation and risk clearly put these divers at the margins, harvesting a creature at the margins itself, with no refuge from human predation or excess. Glenn Selness has his refuge. He plans to go into real estate when the money's made and the diving's through, but some want to dive indefinitely. Sea cucumbers, they believe, give them that opportunity.
A lot of times me and my brother will be coming out, we'll listen to the radio, the regular FM radio, we'll listen to the traffic report for Seattle, and we always get a little chuckle out of it because we don't have that. I mean, there's people that do a two-hour commute each way just to go to work in downtown Seattle.
Dean Nielsen commutes on his boat, the Homie, from ports on the Olympic Peninsula to the Straits of Juan de Fuca, the San Juan Islands, or Puget Sound, wherever he might find sea cucumbers. He respects and admires Glenn Selness, but is closer to the edge. He already suffers from chronic bone narcosis and is having mixed success with diving.
One day out of 10 is a nice day, before everything goes right. Nine times out of 10, you're fighting a lot of stuff. And the guys that do the 9 times out of 10 and make it pay, they're the ones that are still here doing it.
Nielsen has to fight his own boat. The Homie's cabin fills with smoke from a faulty kerosene heater. The noise is deafening because the engine isn't insulated, and the radar, depth finder, and global positioning system are on the fritz. Sometimes, Nielsen says, the fights are with other divers.
I've been underwater because some boat got too close to me, and me and the other diver just shoulder to shoulder pushing each other out of the way to get at the product. Not much you can do about it. I know one incident where a guy was down about 80 feet and the other diver pulled his mask off and let go of his weight belt. There's been gear sabotage at the dock in the middle of the night. People running nails through a dive hose or something, or put sugar in their gas tanks, or I tend to not get too emotional about that. I mean, I'm not going to hurt anybody over a few bucks, you know.
Nielsen duct tapes rubber boots to his rubber diving suit as he prepares to dive in a Puget Sound bay.
This one friend of mine called it dressing up for combat. You know, because you're basically in a fight down there against the elements. You're fighting the elements to get a few dollars.
He tapes knee pads to his knees to protect them from sharp rocks and spiny sea urchins. His diving suit protects against frigid water, and a hose and wire, duct taped together, run from his diving mask to a compressor and radio on the boat. Their lifeline providing air and communication. Bill Sabin, Nielsen's helper, attends to boat. Sabin starts the compressor. Nielsen breathes through his mask and is ready to jump in.
Ready.
You got kelp flying by and all this fish going by, and there's boulders down there, and there's gravel, shells, hit some little sandy spots, and then there's like little leaf kelp growing on the bottom. You know, sometimes I'll be grabbing rocks to pull myself along with, or digging my hand in the bottom or whatever, and I'm crawling along down there because you're fighting this current. It's probably doing a couple knots.
Nielsen climbs back into the boat with a netted bag. It isn't bursting with sea cucumbers.
Is this a good catch or a bad catch?
Bad. Yeah.
What do you think you have here?
Probably about 50 pounds.
That's embarrassing.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, it's just
it happens to everybody.
Sometimes you find them, sometimes you don't.
For anyone to say that doesn't happen to them, they're pulling your leg.
Sabin pours the sea cucumbers into a large plastic bin. Writhing and bloated, some begin to expel their guts. This is a defense mechanism which distracts predators. The guts then grow back. But the mechanism only helps this predator. Sabin guts those that haven't gutted themselves, slitting the cukes with a razor, deflating them like balloons.
Here's a nice one. A little thick. You know, it's more like leather instead of real soft.
That's what they like, yeah, the buyers.
Heading back to port, the noisy and smoky Homie doesn't have much for buyers, only 150 pounds.
Not a great day, but at least I got to come out in the water and make a couple bucks.
What do you think the take was for today?
Probably $150. My worst day of the season, but I don't, you know, one day doesn't make a whole season either.
And so you're going to head to a place where you figure you'll do better tomorrow.
Right.
There's always a better place, a better time, or better creature to harvest. That's the way it is at the margins. Sea cucumbers are the current hot catch here in the inland waters of northwest Washington state. Divers will move on to something else or someplace else if and when the pickings get slim. That's another characteristic of marginal places. Little is known about them or the creatures found there. Nobody knows how long sea cucumbers live, how they live, how many there are, or how diving affects them. Regulators only guess about that. The people drawn to marginal places want the adventure, fortune, or solitude to last, but they're only guessing as well. They'll work the margins as long as they last, and so far at least, they've always had something to move on to. This is Howard Berkus reporting.
After hearing how difficult it is to harvest sea cucumbers from the ocean, we wondered how hard it is to prepare one to eat. Well, according to Kiyomi Yamanaka, chef at Matuba Japanese Restaurant in Arlington, Virginia, the sea cucumber is not actually cooked. First, you wash it in salt water. That toughens the meat. You slice it, then marinate it in a sauce of lemon juice, rice vinegar, soy sauce, and fish stock. Sea cucumber, which the Japanese call namako, is usually served with hot sauce and a vegetable salad, shredded daikon radish or seaweed, or sometimes thinly sliced cucumber, the regular green kind that you grow in the garden.